Well, we're in the series called Counterculture. I'm really grateful for Pastor Carey's teaching and Pastor Taylor's teaching. How many just love our pastoral team and the ability they flow in the anointing? Amen. I'm going to let you remain seated for right now, but I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 5. We've been in a series called Counterculture. If you're watching online for the first time, I want to encourage you, get the app. And when you go to the app, you'll find the whole entire series. Because this is where you as a Jesus follower, really, this is where you're really living right now, is you are a counterculture. You're a counterculture right now. Daniel finds himself, now remember this story, he's a teenager. He is now Nebuchadnezzar, 605, somewhere around BC, now overtakes where they are, exiles them into Babylon, a total pagan demonic culture. He's taken from his Christian school, taken from homeschooling out of his house. He's totally removed from his Christian group. He's not going to vertical anymore. There's no small groups. There's no Bible clubs. It's all gone. They hate their God. They've invaded. They've burnt the city down. They've stolen all the sacred items out of the house of God. And so now we're going to take the best of your young men, and we're going to name you. We're going to claim you. And what we are is getting in you. But you find this story, a teenage boy already had so much foundation in him from God that he was able to be a counterculture and even elevated, because a world can try to name you and contain you. But I'm going to tell you, they can't do it, friends. They just can't do it when you follow God. So here we are in the story in Daniel chapter 5. A lot of time's gone by. In fact, now at this point of the story, Daniel is 82 years old. And what he was when he's 16 didn't change him. He remained the same at 82 years of age. You know, here's what I've discovered. I see people blame a lot of things let me just put it this way, that this was the issue that did it for me, and I just broke, snapped. Here's what I've discovered, like this story. Crisis do not make you who you are. Crisis expose what you've always been. I see people say, well, we divorced because of COVID. Went up 34% divorce rate during just the season of COVID. 34% it shot up, another 34%. COVID. Do you really want to blame COVID? Do you really blame the crisis? No, it only revealed what you had before. That's not the problem. The problem is usually never the problem. There's another issue to be dealt with. Somebody say, amen, oh me, help us Jesus. One of those three. So here he is, and he had to decide, am I going to cave? Now that I'm a 16-year-old, am I going to cave to the culture? Am I going to cave to these most powerful men who could kill me? Or am I going to conform to what's around me so I can fit in and be accepted as a God follower? So I don't want to rock the boat, because I just want to be accepted with the norms that are happening in culture. Will I conform to it? Or will God use me in the right way that I'll be a counterculture, and in fact, they won't name me, they won't claim me, and they won't contain me. God's glory is going to be seen out of me because I'm going to do the right thing. Come on, how many believe if that teenager can do it, how many believe we can do it in this room, in this culture right now? All right, same three, but I'll take you. Amen. So here we are in Daniel chapter 5, and we have a story. Nebuchadnezzar is no longer king of Babylon, but now his son Belshazzar is. And let's look at the story. This is many years later. King Belshazzar gave a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles, and he drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking the wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver cups that his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. He wanted to drink from them with his nobles, his wives, and his concubines. So they brought these gold cups taken from the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. While they drank from them, they praised their idols, made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, listen, there are people in this culture you think are never going to get it, and they're always going to be this way, and you can never change it. Let me tell you, God can bring us suddenly just like that. Everything can change in a day, friends. Don't you ever forget it. Suddenly, they saw the fingers of a human hand writing on the plaster wall of the king's palace near the lampstand. The king himself, the ungodly, the God-hater, the king himself saw the hand as it wrote, and his face turned pale with fright. His knees knocked together in fear, and his legs gave way beneath him. And I think that if Sam Reifkel would have been writing this, it would have also added, and he soiled himself. So let me tell you what this first of all is. Today as I speak, I want you to receive this in the right spirit. And those of you watching online, to receive this in the right spirit. You may have landed here. You may not believe in God. You may hate God. Or you're a believer that calls yourself a Christian and you're playing with sin. I want you to know that pastor's not trying to come down as a heavy, and I'm not angry and I'm not mad at you. Please get this. Please get this. But this is a story of sudden judgment that comes to those who resist and reject the correction of God continually, knowing exactly what they're doing. And that is a sobering reality here, that somehow we think as Christians we can play this game with God and nothing's going to come down on us. Or that this nation can flaunt and do what it wants to do with all of its perversion, with no regard for human life, and somehow think we're going to get away with this. The judgment of God can come down, boom, like that in one day. So here's King Belshazzar. He doesn't think of it. In fact, he's drinking up, man. I'm telling you, he's got 1,000 of his nobles there. He's got his wives and his concubines. I'm telling you, the guy's crazy. And he starts drinking, and they start drinking more. How many know that when you start drinking, you do dumb stuff? Okay, not even the three are answering this time. How many know when you start drinking, you're going to do stupid stuff? I'm going to say it again. When you start drinking, your guards come down. It is natural what happens. Your judgment gets skewed. It gets skewed. Brenda and I'm going to say, we went to this hair salon in Chicago, and they built a brand new one. It's really nice place. We got a haircut. And one of the ladies asked this guy, who was definitely not a believer. He is not a believer. He is not a believer. If just code language, he is not a believer. And the lady asked him, are you going to serve wine here? You know, at this nice place. He goes, oh, no. Oh, no. He said, oh, no. No, no, no. He said, did that before. He said, all of a sudden, he says, their judgment gets skewed. They say, yeah, I'll do these things with my hair. And then we get a call later saying, why did you do this to my hair? And they're the ones that made the decision. Now, let me tell you, when an unbeliever sees that effect, why in the world wouldn't the believer say, I want my judgments to be clear all the time? Okay, that's just a practical thing, not even a Bible thing, just a practical thing for a minute. He starts drinking, and he does stupid stuff. And mom and dad, I know you don't like me to use that word, but he did stupid stuff. Crazy. And he orders them to bring in the gold goblets that his dad, Nebuchadnezzar, had stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. Now, it wasn't just about they were gold and silver. What these things represented at the time, they were the symbols of holy things that now he disrespects. And we'll go even deeper than this. He just disrespects something that is intended to be a vessel of God. And the finger of God, a hand, just a hand, okay, starts writing. Just think of Adam's family hand, okay? Starts writing on the wall. And no enchanter could interpret this. None of his demon-empowered enchanters or astrologers could even interpret what was being said. His wisest men, who even consulted their demonic powers, could not interpret it. You know, while we're talking about this for a moment, it's interesting that Daniel had the interpretation and God showed him exactly what was being said and then interpreted what was actually being written and what it meant. That's very interesting to me. You know, that shows me something, that there is a place why I believe in the baptism of the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in the heavenly prayer language, or what some identify as the unknown tongue. I believe there is a place that when you begin to pray in the Spirit of God, you go to a realm that Satan himself does not have a clue, cannot interpret what the Spirit of God is praying through you by the power of the Spirit. This is why I'm telling every believer, hunger for the baptism power of the Holy Spirit and commune with God in that heavenly language. You go to a whole nother realm. You go into Holy Spirit stealth mode, and the enemy doesn't even know what you're doing when you pray in the language. Oh, can I get a oh me or an amen? That's pray in the Spirit, everybody. And only Daniel, only the counterculture could tell the culture this is what's getting ready to come down. Only the counterculture could tell the culture this is what's getting ready to come down, because he always honored God. And I just believe this. I know that this is a historical event that actually occurred, but I think sometimes we can disengage us from it because it just seems like some story on onion paper, that's some antiquated piece of literature. But I'm telling you that there are many people right now that are in this country and in this nation. There are backslidden Christians and maybe people in this room right now that are living just like Belshazzar. You know everything. You have everything you want. But in one moment, God can bring sudden judgment. In one day, it can all be a house of cards that just comes tumbling down. If only he would have listened. And I'm imploring you, young lady, young man, businessman, senior citizen, I'm imploring you, believer that's playing with God, young man just playing with the things of God and just, I can do whatever I want, I implore you to listen to what God's word is saying today. Because this pastor is listening real close to the words of God to himself as a leader. So if I'm not out of it, how many know, neither are you, amen? Here's what I want you to see. One of the things I want you to see about this story is that there is a hunger of sin. There is an appetite of sin that never gets satisfied. This is what's so interesting, because how many know sin always asks for more? It always asks more. So let me show you. This is the party of all parties, everybody. I mean, this was the party of all parties, okay? They had the best wine, the best bands, the best food, and they were getting high. There are some that believe that there might have been in Babylon alone that they had literally years of food on supply that they could gone, they could have partied forever. And this party just goes on and on and on and on. Well, they're praising their pagan gods to their greatest bands, and they're just worshiping, bowing down, and then they start drinking, and then they're vomiting all over the place and all over each other. The janitors come clean it up, and they go back at it again. Now they're worshiping all these pagan gods, so there's a lot of vile sexual immorality going around. They're passing each other around like a floor mat and just stepping all over each other. It's going on. They're gorging themselves. Drink more, vomit more. Let's do it again. Round two. Let's go. And they keep going. Well, all of a sudden, how many know there's only so much of that you can take? Okay. We got one amen out of the three that were with me. Amen. You can only take so much of that. I'm having a great time. What? There's only so much you can dilute yourself into believing you're having a wonderful time as you're puking your eyeballs out. But the party starts dying. I want to show you this. It's always asking. The party is dying, and Belshazzar knows it's dying. This thing is tanking. We've had the best bands, the best booze. We've had it all, and it's all, and he knows it's dying, so he does a stupid thing and says, let's go get the goblets from those people that we pillaged and burnt down and prove that our God was superior than Jehovah God. Go get those glasses. Come on, let's ramp it up, because this thing is dying. We got to do something to pick this thing up. Karaoke isn't getting it anymore. We got to pick it up here. See, here's the one thing that I've learned at this stage of my life, that any kind of sin that I try to grab a hold of will never satisfy me in the end, because it's always asking for more. And what it's asking for is my soul. And that's the reason why James chapter 1, verse 15 says, sin, when it is full grown, it's always going to eat more, gives birth to death. And this is why, friends, I'm going to tell you, young people, listen to me now. Go after the things of God, because anything out there that Satan tries to offer you as a substitute for a momentary gratification is going to demand more. And what it's going to demand, it wants your life, your soul. And Daniel got a hold of this. Daniel knew it could never satisfy. This is what he learned when he was 16. And far before 16, his mom and dad were probably teaching him the things of God, intentionally getting him in the things of God. So when he became a teenager, he could stand at 82 the way he stood when he was maybe 16 to 19 years old. This is big time stuff. And here's what Daniel, he knew it couldn't satisfy. So Belshazzar's saying, what does this stuff mean? What is this? What does all this stuff mean? I don't get it. And so Daniel chapter 5 verse 7, look at Bel's offer to him. He says this, whoever can read this writing and tell me what it means will be dressed in purple robes of royal honor and will have a gold chain placed around his neck. He will become the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Here he goes again, 82 years of age, and he's still full throttle. Going to the top as a Hebrew, God-honoring, God-fearing, no bars hold, believer, and they can't contain him. And I love Daniel's answer. Verse 17, look at Daniel's answer. And Daniel answered the king, keep your gifts. I'll give you a pay raise. Listen, if you'll do this, we'll put you in the company this. If you'll do this, well, then we can have a relationship. If you'll do this, you do this, you do this. And he looks at him, he says, keep your stuff. I don't need your pay raise. I don't need your position. I don't need any of it. See, friends, let me just explain this. The world doesn't understand us sometimes, but when you sell out to God, come on, how many know all that stuff you used to have when you were serving Satan doesn't mean a thing to you anymore, and now you've come to a place, come on, amen? Now you've come to a place in your life where you're looking at Satan and you're saying, really? That's what you want to give me? That, keep your junk. Keep your junk. I'm just telling you, friends, I'm just telling you the truth. Come on. There's no immorality that can compare to the intimacy of the walk that you have with Jesus Christ. Tell him, I'm not going back. Keep your junk. Some of you, Satan's trying to entice you back into habits and addictions, but just tell him, I'm not going back. Keep your junk. I promise you, there is no drink on the planet Earth that they can mix up for you that can satisfy like the living water, Jesus Christ himself. Just tell him, keep your junk. There is no drug that can give you the high like the one who can mount you up like wings of eagles and set you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Tell him, keep your junk. Just keep your junk. There's no kind of money that compare to the riches of the treasures in heaven that God has laid up for you because of what you're doing for the kingdom right now. You want to talk about a party? They had all the booze, all the wines, all the best entertainment. Well, let me tell you about a party that heaven's already having right now. When one of you come to Jesus Christ, the whole place starts going bananas. They start dancing. They start dancing all over heaven. They start rejoicing. And talk about a party. Come on, everybody, if you know the word, you know Jesus has got prepared for us the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come on, how many know what's going to be there? There's going to be fried rice. There's going to be egg rolls. There's going to be mugu gapan. Yeah, I placed the menu already. Come on. How many of you know we're going to be in a place where Jesus is the light of that city? Come on, there's no more weeping. There's no more darkness. There's no more pain. How many of you thank God that's what we're headed for? All right? He knew that it's going to ask for more, so he knew to say no because it's never satisfied. And he got it when he was young, and you can still get this when you're older. This is the first thing you want to see. It's always going to ask for more from you. Do not dilute yourself. It will ask for more, but what it really wants is your soul. Don't ever forget it. Daniel knew it. So he said, I've already got one that satisfied my soul. Now I want you to look at something else. Sin can be so deluding, so hard, that now there becomes this haughtiness of self-sufficiency. It's not just the hunger of sin. It's haughtiness of, I can do this on my own. This was the whole thing with Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, let's look at the story. You heard Pastor Kerry talk about it last week, but let's look at it. Dan chapter 5, verse 18, when he taught on this. Here comes Bel. And he's telling him, anybody can interpret this. And his mother tells him, go call. The queen mother says, go get Daniel one that's called Belshazzar. Go get him. He's the one that can interpret this for you. And look what happens when 82-year-old Daniel walks into King Belshazzar. I want you to see this. This is very interesting. He says, "Your Majesty, the Most High God gave sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar." When I was reading this, I want to stop here just for a moment. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, stop right there for a moment. Look what he called him. He called him what, everybody? Your say that with me, your majesty. Your majesty. Do you see the respect of the office that God established that even Daniel himself would say, your majesty? The culture of honor is lost in the United States of America. Believers, don't you chime in and buy into it on Facebook or anywhere else. Because this man, Belshazzar, was disrespecting what he did, folks. Let me tell you what he did. When he took those goblets from the house of God, what he was doing was saying, we raped and pillaged, we took their women, we took what we wanted, we burnt their temple, their holy God that took them through the Red Sea. He's not the God, Marduk, our God. We praise him and we defeated God Almighty. And look at all these people, look at all these exiles here. These Jews are under our feet, and he's mocking not just God, he's mocking them as God followers. Get ready, folks. Those of you that want to bear the name Christian, get ready. They're going to mock you for being a Jesus Christ follower. It's going to intensify. My question is, when it intensifies more because of what you believe, will you still have respect for an office with someone that says, we stomp all over you, your God's nothing? Can you respond with your majesty? Let that sink in for a minute. Let it sink in for a minute. I've seen a lot of people elected in my time. And I didn't care who they were. I'm going to do the word of God and I'm going to pray for them. That God gets a hold of their life. And if they're in sin, God, you deal with them. But I'm going to honor the office. And if we could just teach our kids to honor their mom and dad, we wouldn't have the garbage we got going on right now. Right. Walk off after you get corrected and go mumbling. Sorry, I'm a little old school. It's called the Bible. Show honor. Whether you disagree with them or they totally disrespect you, honor. I promise you, I paid for the light bills of people that hated me. Talked about me later. You do the word. You just do the word. Right, Toby, you just do the word. I'm sure there's some of you that are glad you stayed home today. Amen. Oh, I know. I'm just kidding, y'all. So let's look at the haughtiness of self-sufficiency. Your Majesty, the Most High God. Now, he's not backing off. See, somehow you think you got to conform who you are to fit in with a culture that totally is going away. And you think the populace believes this. He didn't do that. But he gave respect and then spoke the constitution of his spirit written by Almighty God. And he said, he made him, verse 19. Let me tell you about your daddy. God made him great. Look at verse 20. But when his heart and his mind, Look at his heart and his mind, his heart and his mind, his heart and his mind. The thoughts always start leading to the desires of your life. If you don't get a grip on your thoughts, then it'll start ruling the desires of your heart. Notice it just didn't say his mind. Notice it just say his heart. You got to start training what you're going to put into your mind, because that rules the desires of your heart. The guy started believing his own press releases. He started drinking from his own press releases and actually believed he was a god. Watch this. But when his heart and mind were puffed up with arrogance, he was brought down from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. Who gave him the glory? God gave him the glory. What was he? He was a heathen king, and God gave him the glory of where he was. Verse 21, until, nobody gets away with anything, anybody. Nobody gets away with anything. Until he learned that the Most High God rules over the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone he desires to rule over them, period. This is the word of God. Now look at this. Look what he says, verse 22. He says, you are his successor, O Belshazzar, and you knew all of this. You knew it. Yet you have not even humbled yourself. Now here's the reason why he's not thinking about it. Because he's going, you can't touch me. There's nothing can touch me. Nothing can touch me. He says, I got plenty of food. He says, we got enough food to party forever. Look at that. Look at that. Look at all the grain bins are full. Everything's full. We got plenty of food. Oh, and we're afraid. We got the mighty Euphrates River. We got all the water we want. We got all the wealth we want. We got all the warriors we need. We got the walls. In fact, have you seen the walls? The walls are 300 feet high. He knew the enemy was outside on the other side of this wall, but his arrogant sin makes you so haughty and so cocky that you think your wealth, your walls, your warriors, your power, your food, I got it all. I've got my 401k plan. Don't you know I have now hit the mile mark of $1 million in the bank? I am telling you, God can suck it out of there just like that. He can turn a stock market tomorrow morning and all of us be wondering, okay, what you gonna do next, God? I'm telling you, that's the kind of God you serve. But here's the problem with Belshazzar. He knew, he heard, he knew from his daddy. He'd heard this story before. But he had no time for God, and he had no time for Daniel. In fact, he would have flipped his nose at the pastor that day. Pastor Daniel flipped his nose at him, and that's exactly what he did. Flipped his nose at him, didn't have anything to do. He didn't even know who Daniel was, folks. Did you know he didn't even know who Daniel was? He didn't even know him. The queen mother had to tell him. Look in verse 13. So Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king asked him, are you Daniel? The guy's been there since he was 16, 19 years old. He's 82 years of age. Everybody knows he's been elevated before, and the guy doesn't even know who the pastor. Let me ask you, when you get to heaven, some people aren't even gonna know who their pastor is. Don't you know? I meet people in this town, it's really funny. Really funny. They recognize me from something. You know, they usually wait to see if I'm going to do something sinful, you know, at Walmart or something, or have a bad attitude, and then they identify that they know who I am. Stop it. Don't do that to me. But it's really hilarious. They say, yeah, I go to church. I say, well, what church you go to? Well, it's over there on the side town over there. What's your pastor's name? I think it's Fred. You don't go to my church. In fact, you don't go to any church. You don't even know who your pastor is. And I can guarantee that if you aren't listening to the men and women of God, you're probably not listening to God himself. If you are not listening to a voice you can hear, I promise you're not listening to a voice that you cannot audibly hear, God himself. Mom and dad, can I just tell you something? I am so grateful to see all the moms and dads in this place. You got your kids over there in Kids First. You got your kids in Vertical. Young adults, I'm telling you, I'm watching. Do you know the young adults group actually grew during this COVID time? They have exploded with growth in the young adults. You guys have no idea. You have no idea what it does to me as a pastor to see your hunger for God, your desperation for God. In a culture, I said, what are you doing at church? Here you are going white hot, on fire for God. You don't care. You got that Daniel spirit inside of you. You got that Daniel spirit inside of you. And I'm going to tell every mom and dad, get your kids into everything where they can hear the voice of godly men and women. Get them into the youth group. Get them into a small group. Get them into church. Get them into anything you can get them in. At every age and stage of life, we've got something here. Get them in it so they will know God's voice. They will honor God's servants, and they will begin to be prospered and blessed. Even in a world that's trying to name them and claim them, they cannot be contained by this world because you put something in them, made it a priority. Don't listen. Thank God for athletics, but stop making athletics your kid's priority in life. Get them hungry for the things of God. Do it at the dinner table. Get it around them, my friends. And here's this guy. He didn't even know who the preacher is. Daniel's the guy that consulted the highest leaders, and he doesn't even know. See, people do forget history in a hurry. It didn't just happen now in this country. It happened then. You forget history in a hurry. And here's this young leader going, who are you, Daniel? Are you Daniel? You know, sometimes with young leaders, even when I was younger, can I just tell you something with young leaders sometimes, and young ladies, young men, listen close for a second. Problem is we're always trying to grab the brass ring. We're always telling the older generation, you know, y'all need to catch up to where we are. What you need to do is you need to tease your hair, go rip up your jeans, get them tighter on you, go buy you a skateboard, then you'll be where we are. I'd try it, but I don't have that great of insurance. Thank you. Amen. No, I'm just having fun with you guys. But listen, honestly, what happens is we're so trying to get the next best thing, grab the next best thing, grab the next best thing. I even see it in Christendom. I see it in churches where everybody's got, I got to get to this church. We got to be like this priest. We got to be like this ministry. We got to be like this, trying to grab forward. Here's the problem so many times. Young leaders sometimes forget to catch up with the past. And you're blowing it. Sometimes we make the dumbest decisions because we don't catch up to the past. We've never sat down with a 90-year-old. We never had a conversation with a senior citizen. We don't even want to sit down with our parents and say, what do you think about this? And you don't catch up to the past to learn that maybe you can avoid the judgment of things happening in your life if you would just catch up to the past. I didn't know Pastor Doug was going to talk about this church being 88 years old, but right in my notes the other day, I start thanking God that this church for 88 years has been a witness to God, and some of you need to catch up to what our past is. Let me tell you the reason why this church is full of the fire of God. Let me tell you why we believe in signs and wonders and God manifesting his presence. Because 88 years ago, two people by the name of Pete and Eva Fairbairn had their 8-month little granddaughter in their arms, lifeless. This little girl's life was gone from her, and they didn't know what to do, but they called a guy by the name of Buford Miller. He became the first pastor of this church 88 years ago, and Buford Miller laid his hands on that lifeless little body of little 8-year-old Lucille, prayed for her, and that little girl came back to life, and that's the seeds of this place. You need to catch up. We're going to keep living and believing what God did in the past he'll do for this generation today. He is a God of signs and wonders and miracles, friends. I'm going to be like David. David says, I get this now. Once I was young and now I'm old, and here's what I figured out. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed ever begging for bread. I'm not going to be so haughty in my spirit that I forget the past. Belshazzar, so haughty in his spirit, he was abusing and dishonoring the vessels in the house of God. And let me just tell you the reason why you ought to prize yourself and tell sin, young lady, that it is unworthy of you. Multimillionaire, tell the sin it is unworthy of you. Because you, they took literal vessels. You are a vessel dedicated to the things of God. Mama, bow your neck. You're not just a mom changing diapers. You are a vessel of the Most High God. You are not just a contractor. You're not just a painter that fills putty holes. You are a vessel of God, and sin is unworthy of you. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. Come on, friends. How many know we are vessels of honor? Don't abuse it. There may be some right now going, this is just too hard for me. I'm not trying to be mean, but maybe you've gotten too soft in your soul against sin. maybe I'm not as hard and God is not as hard as you think he is. Maybe we have gotten so soft, we have caved and conformed, and now we're being contained by the world instead of being all the vessels of honor that he called us to be. All right, I'm coming in for a landing. It's my last point. Some of you are going, thank you, Jesus. I'll be back next week. Thank you very much. Amen. Here's the last thing. Can I just encourage you to heed the signs? It doesn't make any difference if you've been serving God 90 years and you think you've got this all together, or you choose to give your life to Jesus Christ today because you're saying judgment will come. For those who resist and reject God, it will come. Can I just tell you to heed the signs? If only Belshazzar would have heeded the signs. And here's what it says. Daniel 5:25, Daniel says, this is the message that was written. Mene, tekel, parson. Daniel chapter 5, verse 26, here's what he says. Mene means numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. You know, everybody in this room have just a little bit of this one thing called time. You may live to see the century mark, but it is a short time. All of us have got just a limited amount of time. I don't care who you are. I know you're eating the fiber, you're eating the kale, you're gone organic. And that's great. But God's numbered your days. And if you and I don't get this, that our life is in the hand of God, you will not live your life properly and you will never live it on purpose. You will always scatter and wander because anything, listen, people go, I got all the time in the world. Anybody that lives with that kind of mentality, you will squander your purpose and you will not live your life properly. If you think I got plenty of time, I can do this. I can get saved next Sunday. I can do this again. Listen, anything you think you have a lot of, you will squander it. You'll do it with money, you'll do it with time, you'll do it with everything. But when you know that your days are numbered, whether you're 16, whether you're 66, it doesn't make any difference. You start living it on purpose. Because the two most important days in your life is the day you're born and the day you discovered why. When I discovered why Sam Reifkugel was created, when I found my mission in life, every day's been focused to fulfill that one mission in my life. What is your mission in life? What did God call you to do and call you to be? Because if you think you got plenty of it, you'll just squander it, you'll waste it. You won't intercede, you won't pray, you won't get alone with God and say, God, show me the giftings you put in me. Show me how it is to show your glory, God. What is it? Is it a businessman, a businesswoman? Is it an architect, God? Is it someone doing landscaping? Show your glory through me, God. Show your glory through me. Start finding it, because if you think you got plenty of it, you'll start wasting it, and you can be 86 years old and still be wasting your time. But there's a scripture that'll put the blues on you, man. There's a scripture. This is one blues scripture right here. Hebrews 9:27. Each person is destined to die once, and after this comes the judgment. And I got to remind myself, and you got to remind yourself, friends, every single day, frequently in life, that you cannot squander your life and you cannot squander your time. But when you put it in the hands of God, can I tell you something? You can say like Jesus at 33 years of old, while they were crucifying at 33 years of age, he looks them straight bold in the face and he says, nobody takes my life, I freely give it. And I got a word for you. You find out your purpose and you start living it properly and you don't squander your time, you can live like Jesus and say, no one takes my life, I have freely given it to God. He does whatever he wants to do with it. And I got a word for you. Once you find your purpose in life, let me tell you are immortal until the day you are done finishing God's assignment for you on this planet Earth. Until then, I am immortal until I finish my assignment given to me from God. And you're immortal until you finish that assignment from God on this planet Earth. Oh. Daniel 25:27, tekel means weighed. You have been weighed on the balances and you have not measured up. So you got this balance in life, this balance. Like scales, let me tell you, is your life out of balance? I got to ask myself, even in ministry, what is the balance of my life? I can be doing things for God and be disconnected for God. So I ask you a question. How well are you using your time? What would you say? What would you say? What are you building on? And what are you building for? Here's what Paul said. Paul asked, what are you building on and what are you building for? Are you building for Christ? What are you building? 1 Corinthians 3:12 tells us this. If any man, he says, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood or hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. The judgment day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire and the fire will test the quality of each man's work and each woman's work. He says there's things that are gold, there's silver, the costly. What does that mean? Those are the good things, the good services, the things that God is telling you to do, your purpose in life. Are you building on those things? Are you building? Or is it wood, hay, and stubble that when God's fire hits it, it'll all burn up? We're thinking, I built on the wrong things. This is what he's saying. And every day, you and I are building. Every day, we're building life on that which will last and that which will perish. So I've got to ask myself, and you've got to ask yourself, Holy Spirit, tell me, am I prioritizing on that which is gold and silver and costly stones? Am I prioritizing the right things with my relationship with you? How am I doing with my relationship with my wife? How am I doing with my children, my grandson? How am I doing it with my church and my staff? What is the priority of my life? You got to ask those questions in light of the purpose and priority God's given you. And then look what he said, verse 28. Parson means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. The deal is this, folks. If you don't realize that your days are numbered, and if you don't realize that your life is out of balance, your whole life will be divided. If you don't realize that God has the number of your days, if you don't say, God, give me the balance, show me through the word and your spirit what the balance of my life is, here's what's going to happen. You are going to be divided, and I'm watching it happen. I'm watching marriages divide because we don't know. Our days are numbered, and we don't know what the priorities were. I'm watching marriages divide. I'm watching life divided. I'm watching a nation divided because we've lost our priorities, and we're divided. I've watched homes be divided. Some are sitting right now in this room, and God is speaking so strong to our heart. He's saying, don't be divided because a double-minded man or a woman is unstable in all their ways. But make a choice, make a decision like Joshua. Choose this day whom you'll serve. I'm going to sell out. I'm going to be like Daniel. I'm going to completely sell out to what God has. And I promise you, when you do that, you'll never be contained in a culture that may even despise you. I want to tell you why Daniel's heart wasn't divided. I want you to look at this. Look at his relationship with God. Look at his prayer. Daniel 6:10. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks. When was the last time you thanked God for even being in this nation? He never went back. He was stuck in a pagan culture, and he thanked God for where God put him. Hate this job, Elvin. He was cussing, dirty jokes. No. Have you ever sat down and thanked God for your employer? He gave thanks to his God just as he had done before. This is a common practice. And when you do that, friends, and you make him number one, promotion cannot be stopped. Rewards come to him. Look what happens. He said, keep your junk. Isn't that funny? When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he keeps adding all these other things unto you anyway. And look what happens in verse 29. Then Belshazzar commanded. Daniel was clothed in purple gold chains and was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. They can try to name you, they can try to claim you, but they will never contain you when he is the priority of your life. And you can even say the things that need to be said with the Spirit of God on you, that they'll hear what you say. Here's my question. The problem with old Bell is Bell saw the word, he knew it, Daniel gives it to him, handwriting, I mean, a hand, Adam's family hand writing on a wall. And you think the guy would crumble and say, God, I repent, forgive me. This is how much sin can dilute you and make you so arrogant. Is that you still won't fall down on your knees. And that night, in that moment, that very night, the Medes invaded and he was killed that night. Man, if I saw that happen, I'd be breaking. Maybe we've gotten too soft when God points his finger at us. You know? My mama, she didn't have to say a word. She'd just go. Let me ask you, those of you watching online, are you ready to stop feeding the appetite of sin and no longer walking with haughtiness that I got this all covered? Are you ready to say, God, I surrender today? How many believe, friends, this is not the day of judgment? How many believe this is the day of surrender for God's people? Amen. Come on.